And you're listening to the Talkline Network over WVIP 93.5 FM HD2, New Rochelle, New York. We are America's only Jewish radio program on regular broadcast radio on the internet and digital platforms. Enjoy.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do? Show we care. How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Masks Weekly Radio Show on Family Matters. Mask Mothers and Alliance Saving Kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health issues, including addictions. If you know someone who needs a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient program, maybe a new yeshiva for your child, the yeshiva liaison, a parent support group, please give them our number, 718-758-0400. Maybe it's for yourself, a neighbor, a loved one, someone you usually sit next to in shul. You can call anonymously. Our helpline is confidential. Again, I'll repeat the number, 718-758-0400. 8-0-4-0-0. Tonight, we are continuing a very, very important topic that we discussed last week on my radio show with Mr. Bezalel Rothstein, and we are continuing the conversation because it is a very, very important hot conversation. Hot meaning this is Nebuch, the number one issue facing the Klal today, where families are estranged, alienated from children, children from parents, from grandparents. And I want to thank Mr. Bezalel Rothstein, who happens to be a divorce coach and a divorce mediator and coach at Shalom Family Mediation. He also has a very, very large group, a chat for people that are alienated from their loved ones, and that is Tolda's Parental Alienation Support Group. So let me welcome you back on tonight. Thank you for making the time. I know how busy you are, so thank you for making the time again tonight. How are you?
I am well, thank you. And, you know, thank you so much for everything that you and MASC does for families in Klal Yisrael. And, you know, you really nailed it. This topic of estrangement and alienation is the number one conversation that we need to be addressing right now, because it spills over into so many other areas of our lives, and it's such a critical conversation to talk about, such a critical problem that we as a Klal all need to be addressing right now. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. I mean, we need to thank publicly the newspapers that are printing about this topic, the magazines, Ami Mishpacha, the Five Towns paper, Larry Gordon's paper. There are many others out there. Please call MASC. Let us know that you are writing about this topic, helping these families, and I'll give you a shout out. So let's get right to it. You did say that there's so many different, whether it's holidays or events, birthdays, birth of grandchildren that pass in silence, for so many families, weddings, anniversaries, so many different possibilities of events that families go through without being with their loved ones. Let's start off with, what is parental alienation? How did this happen? And where did it go wrong? We're going to be speaking with Mr. Bezzalo Rothstein, continuing our last week conversation. So let's start off with, what is parental alienation, from any new listeners, please? Thank you.
Thank you. So the experts, the mental health professionals, the way that they describe parental alienation, I'm just going to give a brief nutshell description of it, but basically it is when a child is exhibiting any kind of behavior of pulling back and rejecting either of their parents or both of their parents, as the case may be. And there's two sides of this, one being estrangement and the other being alienation. Alienation is more of a term that would fit a case of a contentious divorce, where either parent is manipulating a child to reject the other parent. And estrangement might be a better definition, where the child, for their own reasons, is pulling out of the lives of the parent.
You know, Bezzalo, families go through traumas, divorce, and death of a parent, young Loaleno, and just kids go through traumas. There are families that have abusive situations. Let's talk about, when is alienation, I don't like using the word appropriate, is alienation a possibility if a parent is abusive?
So in my opinion, alienation is never appropriate.
Right, thank you. I'm interrupting you, and I'm saying thank you because I agree with you.
Now, that being said, obviously, everything that we're doing today is only about protecting our children. So if there is a case where there is an abusive parent in the life of a child, so then obviously there need to be safety measures that are put up. There needs to be supervised parenting time. There needs to be boundaries that are set up. You get therapists involved. Obviously, we would never endanger the welfare of a child just in order to prevent alienation. Sometimes a child may choose on their own to withdraw from a parent because they find it to be a toxic relationship. And, you know, who are we kidding? You know, there are, you know, no parent is perfect. So, but just because we as parents have our own imperfections, doesn't mean that it's in the best interest of the child to cut off all contact with that parent. No, you know, the child should have advocates in their life who are going to express to the parent that, you know, the A, B, and C of your behaviors or your, character flaws are having a toxic effect on your relationship with your child. And you need to be a better parent in order to have a relationship with your child. So you're going to have, you know, mental health professionals intervening to advocate for the child, and maybe the child's going to have less contact with the parent, but there's no need. I can't see any need or any benefit from a complete cutoff.
So let's start with what the damage can do to a child and grandchildren and siblings. That's a loaded question, I know. But let's talk about the effects of parental alienation, the one that is alienating parent, grandparent, whomever they're alienating. There is a bigger effect. So let's focus first on that, please.
Right. So just by way of context, I'm just going to repeat also a little bit of what I had mentioned last week. You know, when a child is born, the child comes into the world wanting really nothing more than the love, approval, and affection of their parents. And so when a child is going through estrangement or alienation, what we're seeing is we are seeing a complete 180. We are seeing a complete overturning of the very nature that this child was born with. And that love and affection and approval that the child was seeking, that was the most important thing to them coming out of the womb, now all of a sudden, this is something that the children are rejecting. So this is very dangerous to the mental health and welfare of the child. So let's just think for a minute about how children who don't have love and affection from their parents at home, let's think about, you know, what happens to them. They are typically the ones who will turn to addiction. They're the ones that go off the derech. They're the ones that have difficulty holding down jobs, you know, as they get older. They are the ones that are dealing with fear of abandonment. They are dealing with all sorts of a host of problems because they didn't have that very basic safety and stability growing up. And so children who go through alienation, who end up rejecting the love and affection of their parents, they are feeling abandoned. They are feeling lost. They are feeling without a place in this world. That is the product of a child who's gone through alienation or estrangement. These children will not grow up knowing how to have healthy relationships with others. They will not grow up with tools to be effective parents. They will not grow up with tools to be effective spouses. They're going to be spending many hours and dollars on their own therapy to correct the damage that was done.
Right. And they do say that it's familial. It's, you know, there can be a history in a family that they don't know how to handle conflict any other way. They just alienate. And it may reach back to previous generations that that's how it was handled.
That's 100% right. And I can say, I can testify that from the families that I'm involved with, from the people that I'm working with, you would not believe how generational it is. The numbers are staggering. That if a child, right, because we also see that children that come from divorced homes are more likely to get divorced themselves. And again, it's because they don't have that healthy family modeling. So a lot of the work that I'm getting involved in is really trying not so much to see people through a divorce, but rather to help people work on their shalom bias, to help parents be more effective in modeling what a healthy relationship looks like for their children and give them the tools to be healthy parents to their children. Because in many cases, when a child is pulling away, it's because either of the parents, if not both of those parents, are also lacking those basic skills to give the child the safety, the stability, the warmth, the love and affection that they need. So the way that we work on this is by giving the parents the tools to give that love, to give that safety, to give that stability. And at the same time, the child very often is lacking the skills and the tools to be a receiver of those feelings of warmth, stability, safety, love, and affection. So there's a lot that goes into it as far as, you know, like I said, having the tools to give and having the tools to receive. But it's all about foundational safety, stability, connection. Again, like for example, you know, you don't want a child to grow up thinking that the only way that their parents will approve of them is if they're excelling in school, because we know as parents that our love for our children is entirely unconditional. But yet sometimes we get so wrapped up in our need and this like tremendous desire to see our children excelling at everything that we sometimes end up putting too much pressure on them. And we're hurting the child by pushing them so hard to be so successful. So the child ends up feeling that the love is conditional. And the child thinks, oh my gosh, you know, look at my parents. They're so hard on me. They don't really care about me. They only care about me if I'm living up to their standards. And the child is starting to pull away. And this is where we might see child estrangement, in the case of divorce, where there's contentiousness going on in the divorce, a fierce custody battle, a fierce fight over the money, over the house, and either parent is saying, how can you be loyal to the other parent? Don't you see what the parent is doing to me? And so then again, this is causing the child to feel unsafe around one or both of the parents. And if the child is not finding the safety that and the stability that they need at home, we all know what happens next. They will go looking for it on the street, and they will find it, and nobody will be happy with those results.
Absolutely. You mentioned divorce. Let's talk about a divorced family. Young children, they don't know what's going on in the divorce. They get divorced, and one parent, that may make it more difficult for the other parent with visitation or talk bad about the other parent. And that can create an issue where then they, you know, in addition, become alienated from the loving parent they may not be seeing. What are some of the signs that you can look for? Let's talk about really signs to look for that a child is being alienated, please.
Excellent question. And, you know, the thing is that most of the families that I'm working with today, when early on in the process of the alienation, it was definitely happening, but nobody realized that was happening. By the time that it was recognized what was going on, it was much too late. So I'm very much a believer in that age-old adage of an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So if a child is every parent knows when a child is withdrawing from them. You know, you might hear the child say things which sound very mature, like things that probably are coming from your ex-spouse rather than, you know, something that's an idea that the child realized. Or if the child is asking about family finances, if the child is asking about something that might be going on in the courtroom, you know, anything like that. These are questions that are really entirely inappropriate for a child to be asking. Now, what happens when the child does actually come and ask one of these questions? So most parents would respond by saying, "I'm sorry, Tsatskala, this is an issue that mommy and tati have to work through. And, you know, I appreciate you asking, but, you know, I'm dealing with it with your mother or I'm dealing with your father," as the case may be. Now, while that is a very appropriate and proper answer, I would suggest that it's the wrong answer, because what that will do is that will create an air of secrecy between the parent and the child. The child is already feeling that there are secrets, that there's something that's not being told, because the child is very curious. That's why the child is asking you this question. And what you want to do, if you are a targeted parent, and when I say targeted, I mean targeted, you know, for alienation by your, let's say, your ex-spouse, you want to give your child as much safety and security as you possibly can. And while the child would definitely be safer not having to get involved in the details of the divorce that might be going on, but unfortunately, that boundary has already been breached. The other parent has already brought the child into the parsha. So now you want to be able to just, you know, you want to be able to say, "Listen, everything's going to be okay. Do you have any specific questions?" And I would suggest that you make the child as comfortable as you possibly can in coming to you with any questions, any doubts that they about their future that they might have. And, you know, you don't want to discuss every last detail, and you don't want to force your child to have to pick a side, to choose loyalty to the mother or the father. But you absolutely, definitely want your child to feel safe talking to you about things, and you do not want to present to your child that you are keeping secrets from them, because I can guarantee you that your ex-spouse is telling your child that you're secretive and manipulative and abusive. And when you tell the child, "I can't talk about this with you," you are validating everything the spouse has already said and will say in the future about you, and you're setting yourself up without even realizing it for the alienation to stick even stronger.
Now, what happens, Talo, if one parent is more religious or less religious, and the kids are, you know, one parent feels that the kids will be confused. Some parents are holding their children back from going to the other parent. Let's address that.
Yeah. Okay. You know, listen, again, as I said earlier, there's no justification for alienation. Just because you have one parent who's Shomer Torah Mitzvos and you have one parent who's not Shomer Torah Mitzvos, this is not a reason to alienate the children. Now, depending on where the children themselves are holding, perhaps it's a reason to not send the kids to the non-observant parent for Shabbos, maybe not for Yom Tovim. Maybe you work out some sort of an agreement. Giving their, you know, the agreement includes that they're only going to take the children to kosher restaurants if the other parent's home is not kosher. But I put it on both of the parents to find the right advisors to be in their lives to figure out what is best for the children. It is absolutely not healthy for the children to be bouncing back and forth between an observant home and a non-observant home. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but when parents get divorced, you're going to have parents, more often than not, they're not getting along and see eye to eye. So they're not going to start seeing eye to eye when it comes to this. So there are going to be extra struggles and extra pain having these kinds of conversations with the parents.
100%.
Right.
So to address that, listen, you know, if a couple is getting divorced in court or in Beis Din, and they have a lawyer, they have a Tohen involved in the case, 99% of the time, the lawyer or the Tohen is going to be advising the frum parent that they should be alienating the children from the non-frum parent, that they should be going for full custody, because the non-observant parent is just, you know, unfit as a parent because you see that they have rejected Torah mitzvahs. So, you know, but that's not the answer here. And obviously, if that's how they're going about their divorce, then as you said, they're not going to see eye to eye. I would encourage the parties to go to mediation. And I would encourage the parties to get a divorce coach. And I believe that a skilled mediator and a skilled coach will guide the two parents to see that, yes, as I said, it is not in the best interest of the child to be bouncing back and forth between one home that keeps Torah and another home that does not keep Torah. That is unhealthy for the child. The child's not going to know how to live. They're not going to have a moral compass. They're not going to have a fixed set of values in their lives. How are they going to make decisions about anything? So a skilled mediator, a skilled coach, will help the two parents see that the setup that they have is not conducive for healthy children, and encourage them to find the right path for the children. You know, one parent might say, okay, the kids have to be, 100% Shomer Shabbos and everything. They can't, maybe they can't go to movies or they can't go to beach, whatever the case may be. You have one set of hashkafas and that they're going to be wanting to adhere to, but maybe that's coming from their own, their own interests, that they want to say that their kids are a certain way. And the other parent is going to say, I've rejected Torah. I don't want my kids to have anything to do with Torah. Maybe they want to put the kids in public school. Who knows, what the situation might be. But at the end of the day, it is up to these two parents to say, look, we need to find a way for our children to survive our divorce. And something's going to have to give. Now, personally speaking, I could never encourage a parent to let their children just walk away from Yiddishkeit. I could never do that because I personally, I'm a big fan of Torah and you know, Yiddishkeit and Torah way of living. But at the same time, I can't tell a parent that they can't not walk away from it. Everybody's entitled to raise their children as they see best fit. And if, you know, Rachmanis, you know, a parent is walking away from Yiddishkeit. If two parents were married, they decided to walk away from Torah, nobody would tell them that they can't do it. They could take the kids with them. Happens to be that if there's another parent involved, it's not so simple. So it's really important for the parents to sit down, do the difficult work, put in the work to figure it out. And they need to have the right advisors, not people who are going to stoke the flames of conflict and say, no, you go for full custody, you go for full custody. It'll be hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of dollars and years to figure it out. And if I had to bet money, I would say that the kids ultimately aren't going to stay from because of how nasty the divorce would go.
You say about having good either coaches, divorce mediators such as yourself, Bezalel, a very sought after divorce mediator. I think it's important that we bring in the conversation about the role of a teacher that is in a child's life who can get involved in cases where there is alienation. What is your opinion on that?
Well,
uneducated.
I feel bad for teachers who are involved with families where there's alienation going on. Because absolutely, you know, if somebody is a mechanech, then it absolutely falls under the umbrella of chinuch to teach children, you know, proper values that, you know, keep it up and aim. It's one of the most foundational principles that we have in all of Yiddishkeit. You know, but that being said, I do believe that it's not necessarily the job of a teacher to solve alienation for a child. I think that it would be great for the teacher to, you know, to just be a be an advisor to a child, you know, right, help them answer some questions. But it's I don't think it's the job of the teacher to get involved in solving the conflict between the parents. But a teacher absolutely can be a positive influence in the life of a child who's struggling at home.
Right. That's what I meant. Be a positive influence. We're running out of time. What is the one message you want to leave our listeners with?
I would say that you have to understand that alienation is very, the word is counterintuitive. What you see is just the tip of the iceberg. And very often what's going on under the surface is very, very complicated. A child that is rejecting a parent doesn't hate the parent. The child actually loves the parent. Children naturally love their parents. They need the affection. And so if your child is expressing any sign of feeling unsafe around you, don't tell the kid they have nothing to worry about. Hear the child out. Engage with the child. Try to listen to their fears. Try to, you know, get them to open up to you and get them to feel safe with you. And certainly, my practice is here for anybody who is looking for help, and MASC is available for anyone who's looking for help. And there's another great organization called Broken Ties. So many places you can turn to get help with any topic related to parental alienation.
Thank you. And yes, anyone interested in joining Bezalel's group or Broken Ties, feel free to call 718-758-0400. We will have you on again, God willing. Thank you very much, Bezalel. We're running out of time. I want to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, and virtually now, hug tight. Please, let's figure out how to renew broken relationship and experience better than ever bonds. Thank you. Have a good night. Tonight's show is in memory of Rivka Bas Yisrael. Thank